Hi there. This is Jennifer Passarello from CircaNineteenXX.com. Welcome to Circa Sunday Night, the podcast. You know, I always think of Circa 19XX land as time travel for the imagination, where we explore all kinds of glamorous and beautiful old things from the early part of the 20th century. So go put on your fringe and your long rope of pearls, and let's Charleston our way to Dreamsville. It's the cure for insomnia. It's Circa Sunday Night. Hello there. I'm so glad you're here. How was your weekend? Did we have a weekend? I think I might have missed it. Yeah, I've been working all weekend, and yeah, that's a bummer, isn't it? That's never very fun. But I'm teaching a class at my job. It's a new class, and I've been so busy lately that I haven't been able to do a lot of advanced planning. So I'm in the situation where I'm designing the class right before I teach it, and I have a session tomorrow morning. I'm not ready for it. I still have some work to do. As soon as I'm done recording this episode, I'm going to have to set my microphone aside and get back to the preparations for tomorrow morning. All of this leads me to a confession that I have to make, and that is, this is not the show that I wanted to produce for you tonight. No, I ran out of time. I had a more elaborate plan. I ran out of time. It just didn't come together. I'm afraid tonight's show is going to be shorter. But if you're a person who likes short podcasts, well, maybe this is the one for you. But either way, you know, whether this show turns out to be any good at all, hopefully we'll still have a nice time together. And that's the main thing, right? Okay, well, before we jump into our show, I have to talk about another candle. If you tuned in 2 weeks ago for our Polynesian getaway episode, I think that was 2 weeks ago. I've been talking a lot about candles lately. In that show, I talked about Tahitian vanilla. And, oh, it was fabulous. I'm talking about it in the past tense now because it's gone. I burned it. But, oh, that was a nice one. That was from Chesapeake Bay Candle Company. And I've decided I really like burning candles while I'm recording these episodes because I'm in this dark little room and there's really no light except for a candle that I have burning. So it makes this really nice glow. And of course, a scented candle is always better. I mean, what's really the point of an unscented candle? I don't know. It seems like if you're going to have a candle, it has to have some sort of scent to it. So I do have a candle burning this week. It's not vanilla this time. It is rose. It's a rose-scented candle. So it smells a little bit like a garden in here. All right, so tonight's candle is from Nest. It's a splurge. So this particular candle was about $40. Some of their candles are even more expensive than that. I saw one for about $75. It was a rather large candle. So this is one that I'm going to be burning over a longer period of time. I'm going to sort of ration it out a little bit, not burn it all at one time like I tend to do. But yeah, this is Rose Noir, and it's beautiful. Imagine a midnight walk through a rose garden. The moon's reflected on the pool of a fountain, and the water bubbling from that fountain is the only sound you hear. You're surrounded by the scent of roses. I'm there, aren't you? Well, that's what it smells like in here. So again, I'm going to pretend like I'm in a garden. I'm in a midnight garden, surrounded by roses. Now, this is my first Nest candle, though I have had Nest fragrances before. I have worn Nest perfumes. And I like to give Nest perfumes as gifts. In fact, I bought my mom a Nest perfume for this past Christmas. What I love about them is, yes, they smell beautiful. They really do. But their packaging is spectacular. They have the most beautiful perfume bottles. Now, as I said, it's a splurge. You can get them online, but every now and then you have to do something nice for yourself. And what better should you do than get a beautiful candle that you can enjoy? Well, inside, I'm sitting in this sort of cloud of roses, but outside, it's raining, and it's really coming down out there. I don't know if the microphone is picking up on it, but there's thunder, there's a driving rain, so spring has sprung. There's no color, there's still no color outside, or very little color. Anyway, I have noticed that the grass is starting to get a little bit green, but it's mostly pretty brown outside, pretty brown and gray. But, you know, I see the little buds on the trees, so I know those leaves are going to be, they're going to be coming along, and that always kind of puts a little pep in my step. You know, I love to think about the warm weather and the summer that's dead ahead. Can't wait for that. You know, not only will there be the warmer temperatures, but I'm thinking about lazy afternoons by the pool, thinking about all the books that I want to read, travel. Oh, hey, about travel. I have a couple of trips that are coming up. Now, one of them I've talked about before, Florida in May. I'm going to Florida in May, and you all know I love to go to Florida, so that's not really anything that exciting. Well, I mean, I think it's exciting. I always think it's exciting to go to Florida, but that's nothing new because I go there all the time. But I booked another trip in July that I am really, really excited about. I'm going to a place that I have wanted to visit for years. And that place is right up our alley here in circa 19XX land. Now, I'm keeping that location a surprise because I hope to take you along with me on that trip. It should be kind of fun. Should we jump into our agenda for tonight? Okay, let's do it. Our theme tonight is 1,000 Beautiful Things. And that is the title of a wonderful old book that I picked up at my favorite thrift store earlier this week. This little book is fabulous. I lost, I don't know, 2-3 hours in this book earlier this week. And you know, now that I think about it, had I not done that, I might have been more prepared for my class tomorrow. But what could I do? I couldn't help myself. It is a book full of beautiful little things. So I want to talk about that book and share a few things with you from that. And then speaking of beautiful things, I found what I think might be my new signature scent. Now, I know I just talked about fragrant candles and I talked about Nest perfumes. I'm going to talk about another perfume, a different perfume, and I love it so much that I just had to tell you all about it. Then we're going to go back to the thrift store. I'm going to take you with me, and we're going to shop for my favorite clothing items right now. What are those items? Well, I'll tell you later. Keep that suspense going. And then we'll wrap up with something that is not so beautiful. My review of the film Radium Girls. Now, I talked about this film last season, a few months ago. This was before the holidays. And you might recall that I was dying to see this film. Well, last weekend, I finally did see it. And now you don't have to. Spoiler alert, I didn't love it. So we'll have much more on that later. All right, so how about if we get started?
Thank you.
If you've listened to the show before, you know that one of my favorite things to do is look through old books. Now, I'm usually attracted to beautiful old covers. You know, covers that have, like faint traces of gold decorations on them or just pretty pictures on the covers. But sometimes it's the title that lures me in. And that was the case this time around. The ugliest book on the shelf at my thrift store this week, I mean the ugliest, was the one that I fell in love with. And it's called 1,000 Beautiful Things. Well, I love beautiful things, right? So how could you beat that title? But the book itself is not beautiful. Its cover is plain. It's kind of beat up. Not necessarily the cleanest book I've ever seen. The pages are yellowed. A few of them have tears around the edges. But there I was, standing in the shop, carefully turning those fragile pages, and just getting lost in them. In the basket it went, and now it's part of my personal library. Let me tell you about this book. 1,000 Beautiful Things was published in 1947 by the People's Book Club, and it's an anthology. It contains things like quotes and poems and short stories, little narrative snippets, and there's even, a play or two in here, short ones, short little plays. And all of these things have one thing in common. They're pretty. They create little images that are just charming and beautiful. Now, I spent, like I said, a couple of afternoons with this book. And you know what I kept thinking as I was flipping through and reading poems and just reading little narrative bits here and there? I was thinking that it was sort of like when you open up a jewelry box and there's all these sparkly gems in there that you sort through. And you pick one or two of them up and you hold them up to the light and you just enjoy the color and the sparkle. Well, that's kind of how this was. You know, each little poem offers this beautiful little scene for the imagination. I mean, it's just like this lovely little escape. Well, anyway, the anthologist was a woman named Marjorie Barrows. And I tried to find some information out about her. It turns out she was an editor of Child Life magazine in the 1930s. She actually put several collections together that were similar to 1,000 Beautiful Things, but it looks like most of them were aimed at children. My book is not for children, it's for adults, but even so, it has this innocence about it that's just, well, honestly, it's just very refreshing. It's not the kind of book that you would expect to find today being published. Here's what I was able to learn about the People's Book Club. I thought maybe it was a precursor to the Book of the Month Club, but no, it turns out that the Book of the Month Club was around first. So that was established in the 1920s. The People's Book Club was established in 1943, and you will never believe who established it. Sears Roebuck and Company. What? Sears! Yeah, who knew? Well, apparently they established a publishing house in Chicago in 1943, and they printed these books, and they also printed a monthly catalog for members. Now, nobody ever talks about the People's Book Club today, at least I've never heard of it, but at its peak, they had 350,000 members. So this was like a real thing. And yet, who's ever heard of it? Well, I mean, you and I have heard of it now, but this is the great thing when you start diving into history, you just discover all of these little forgotten pieces of information. You know, it's like a treasure trove of forgotten stuff. But anyway, the People's Book Club published 1,000 Beautiful Things. This book really does contain 1,000 beautiful things. I can't share all of them with you, but what I did think I would do is maybe read a couple of them and we can experience them together. How about that? Okay, our first piece is called Beauty by A.C. Benson. I was visited, as I sat in my room today, by one of those sudden impressions of rare beauty that come and go like flashes. The materials of the impression were simple and familiar enough. My room looks out into a little court There's a plot of grass, and to the right of it is an old stone-built wall, close against which stands a row of aged lime trees. Straight opposite at right angles to the wall is the east side of the hall, with its big plain traceried window enlivened with a few heraldic shields of stained glass. While I was looking out today, there came a flying burst of sun, and the little corner became a sudden feast of delicate color. The rich green of the grass, the foliage of the lime trees, their brown wrinkled stems, the pale moss on the walls, the bright points of color in the emblazonries of the window, they all made a sudden delicate harmony of tints. I'd seen the place 100 times before without ever guessing what a perfect picture it made. What a strange power the perception of beauty is. It seems to ebb and flow like some secret tide. It's independent alike of health or disease, of joy or sorrow. There are times in our lives when we seem to go singing on our way, and when the beauty of the world sets itself like a quiet harmony to the song we uplift. Now, here's a beautiful little poem. It's called Every Child, and it's by Edna Kassler Jahl. Every child should know a hill and the clean joy of running down its long slope with the wind in his hair. He should know a tree, the comfort of its cool lap of shade and the supple strength of its arms balancing him between the earth and the sky, so he's the creature of both. He should know bits of singing water, the strange mysteries of its depths, and the long sweet grasses that border it. Every child should know some scrap of uninterrupted sky to shout against, and to have one star, dependable and bright, for wishing on. Now, this book also contains quotes, and here's a quote that I like from someone, and I am not familiar with this name, Maeterlinck. Maeterlinck, I'm not sure who that is, but I do like the quote, and here it is. Above all, let us never forget that an act of goodness is in itself an act of happiness. It's the flower of a long inner life of joy and contentment. It tells of peaceful hours and days on the sunniest heights of our soul. And finally, for my last piece, I'd like to share this beautiful little story that I think is just wonderful. This is called The Two Leaves, and it's by Felix Salten from his book Bambi. The leaves were falling from the great oak at the meadow's edge. They were falling from all the trees. One branch of the oak reached high above the others and stretched far out over the meadow. Two leaves clung to its very tip. "It isn't the way it used to be," said one leaf to the other. "No," the other leaf answered. "So many of us have fallen off tonight. We're almost the only ones left on our branch." "Oh, you never know who's going to go next," said the first leaf. "Even when it was warm and the sun shone, a storm or a cloud burst would come sometimes, and many leaves were torn off, even when they were still young. You never know who's going to go next." "Yeah, the sun seldom shines now," sighed the second leaf. "And when it does, it gives no warmth. We must have warmth again." "Can it be true," said the first leaf, "can it really be true that others come to take our places when we're gone, and after them still others and more and more?" "It is really true," whispered the second leaf. "We can't even begin to imagine it. It's beyond our powers." "It makes me very sad," added the first leaf. They were silent a while. Then the first leaf said quietly to herself, "Why must we fall?" The second leaf asked, "What happens to us when we have fallen?" "Well, we sink down." "What's under us?" The first leaf answered, "I don't know. Some say one thing, some another, but nobody knows." The second leaf asked, "Do we feel anything? Do we know anything about ourselves when we're down there? The first leaf answered, "Who knows? Not one of all those down there has ever come back to tell us about it." They were silent again. Then the first leaf said tenderly to the other, "Well, don't worry so much about it. You're trembling." "That's nothing," the second leaf answered. "I tremble at the least thing now. I don't feel so sure of my hold as I used to." "Well, let's not talk any more about such things," said the first leaf. The other replied, "No, we'll let it be, but, well, what else should we talk about?" She was silent and went on after a little while. "Which of us will go first?" "Well, there's still plenty of time to worry about that," the other leaf assured her. "Let's remember how beautiful it was, how wonderful, when the sun came out and it shone so warmly and we thought we'd burst with life. Do you remember? And the morning dew and the mild and splendid nights." "Well, now the nights are dreadful," the second leaf complained, "and there's no end to them." "Well, we shouldn't complain," said the first leaf gently. "We've outlived many, many others." "Have I changed much?" asked the second leaf shyly but determinedly. "Not in the least," said the first leaf. "You only think so because I've got to be so yellow and ugly, but it's different in your case." "Oh, you're fooling me," the second leaf said. "No, really," the first leaf exclaimed eagerly. "Believe me, you're as lovely as the day you were born. Oh, here and there may be a little yellow spot, but it's hardly noticeable, and it only makes you handsomer. Believe me." "Thanks," whispered the second leaf, quite touched. "I don't believe you, but altogether, I thank you because you're so kind. You've always been so kind to me. I'm just beginning to understand just how kind you are." "Hush," said the other leaf and kept silent herself, for she was too troubled to talk anymore. Then they were both silent. Hours passed. A moist wind blew, cold and hostile, through the treetops. "Ah, now," said the second leaf, "I..." And then her voice broke off. She was torn from her place and spun down. Winter had come.
Do you see now why I love these old books so much? You know, when I go thrifting and I find a little collection like this, well, it's a very good day. A package showed up on my stoop this week. I came home from running some errands, and there it was. Isn't that fun? What's better than finding a surprise at your door? Now, in this case, I was expecting it. I'd ordered it, so, you know, of course I knew what it was. But even so, having the thing in your mind is different than having the thing in your hand. So, what was this particular package? A wonderful bottle of perfume. And oh my, is it lovely. I've always liked scents. You know, scented candles, potpourri, perfumes, essential oils. I've always loved that stuff. But as I get older, I find that I just want to be immersed in it. Now, I'm sure that you've heard jokes about smelling like an old lady or somebody wearing old lady perfume. I guess that's me now. You know, but one of the glorious things about getting older is you just don't care about that stuff anymore. So if you ever come over to my house, get your nose ready, because there's going to be something pretty wafting through the air. The perfume that arrived on my doorstep is called Vanille Abricot, and it's by Sud Pacifique. Now, to my French listeners, I apologize. That was a terrible pronunciation. You know, at work, I have two fluent French speakers on my team. One of them was born and raised in France, The other is from the UK, but majored in French literature. And at the moment, I'm just so glad that neither of them listen to this podcast, because if they heard me trying to pronounce a French name, I'm sure there would be endless jokes about that. But anyway, the perfume again is called Vanille Abricot, and it's something that I came across by accident. The scent is supposed to be a combination of vanilla and apricot, but honestly, I only smell the vanilla. Oh, I wish you could smell it through this channel, because it's beautiful. It's very subtle. You don't walk around smelling like frosting or something like that, but it's very definitely vanilla. And it has kind of this calming effect on me. I mean, it's beautiful, of course, but it's calming also. Really lovely. Well, as I mentioned, I'm always looking for good vanilla. Now, here's what would really be great. And if anyone out there has any pull whatsoever, I'd like to put forth this request. I love the Jergens body butters. Have you seen the Jergens body butters out there? I mean, you can get them at Walmart. You can get them at Target. These are not expensive, but they are fabulous. I use them every day, and they're part of my nighttime routine. They have completely cured me of my winter dry skin. And not only do I use the body butters all over on my legs, my feet, I also use them on my cuticles. So I rub them into my cuticles every night. Well, and actually every morning too. And I'll tell you what, they have done wonders on my nails and my manicures. So I love the Jergens body butters. I usually do pick them up at Walmart. They come in rose, lavender, eucalyptus, mint. Those three smell fabulous. And then they also have citrus. And I'm not wild about the citrus, so I don't buy that one anymore. But those others are beautiful, and I always have them on hand. They have become a staple now. I would love it, really, really love it, if they could add one in vanilla. And I mean just straight up vanilla. No need to combine it with other scents. Just a rich, creamy vanilla body butter. Hey, Jergens, get on that, will you? But anyway, if you like vanilla like I do, I highly recommend Vanille Abricot. I ordered mine from Amazon. I believe Sephora carries it as well. So probably there's several online retailers that carry it. I'll try to find a link and put it in the show notes for this show in case you want to check it out. From a day of thrifting earlier this week with quite a haul. I bought a lot of small things, but then I also bought a couple of bigger things, one of which was this beautiful, beautiful lamp. Now, I need another lamp like I need a hole in the head. For some reason, lamps and mirrors are very difficult for me to resist, but this one was so beautiful. Now, the funny thing about it, though, is it was pretty dirty and disgusting in the shop. So I looked at it. I was admiring it from afar while it sat there on the shelf, but it was so dirty that I walked away. I looked at a bunch of other stuff in the shop and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So I came back and I decided I couldn't live without it. I was kind of reluctant to pick it up, let alone bring it home, but I did get it in the cart and then I brought it home and I cleaned it up. The cleanup process was rather lengthy, and it was pretty icky too, to be honest. There was some sticky stuff on there. I'm not sure what it was. I don't want to know what it was. I would imagine that this lamp was in somebody's dark basement, forgotten for many years. I don't know. I guess it's better not to even think about that. But now that it's cleaned up, it is stunning. Now, I do need to get a new shade for it. I don't like the shade that came with it, but the base of it is a deep kind of brass color, and it's on little feet, And then the body of it is this creamy ceramic that has like a floral, embossed floral pattern on it. It's just beautiful. There's no other color. It's just cream and brass. Just beautiful. And you know how much it was? $11. That is what is so amazing about thrifting. Okay, so let's see. What else did I pick up? Well, a few books. Now, I already told you about one of the books that I picked up, The Thousand Beautiful Things, but I picked up some newer books as well. One of the books that I picked up was a nice, like-new hardcover on Emily Post. So, you know Emily Post, the etiquette specialist? Well, this is a biography about her. And then another perfect condition book called Strapless by Deborah Davis. Now, I cannot wait to start this one. All right, I'm going to read to you the book jacket because this is just delicious, and this is right up our alley here in circa 19XX land. This is actually not really circa 19XX. This is not 20th century. It's a little before our time, but still fascinating. From the book jacket. In the 1800s, Parisian gossip columns were bursting with the news of 23-year-old Virginie Amélie Goutreau, whose stunning looks and unconventional behavior made her the city's hottest it girl. The fame-hungry Goutreau soon met John Singer Sargent, an up-and-coming artist eager to collaborate on a portrait that would catapult them both to the pinnacle of society. Sargent's painting of Goutreau was shown at the 1884 Paris Salon, but while Sargent, the American son of vagabond parents, rose to lasting stardom, Goutreau, cultivated since childhood to be admired and envied, was ridiculed and then utterly forgotten. How did their destinies come to be so sharply overturned? The answer, Deborah Davis reveals in her book Strapless, lies in Sargent's portrait, Madame X. As it hangs today in New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art, Goutreau is depicted in a black gown with two jeweled shoulder straps, but in the original painting, one strap fell free from Goutreau's upper arm, a rather suggestive element. Well, this ignited a critical frenzy that shattered Goutreau's reputation and sent Sargent in flight to England. Drawing on previously unexamined family papers and documents discovered in libraries and private collections, Davis explores the tantalizing mysteries at the heart of Madame X. Why did Sargent paint his subject in such a deliberately provocative manner? And why did Goutreau acquiesce? Could they have anticipated that a fallen strap would shock even decadent Paris and agreed that celebrity would be worth the scandal? If so, what later moved Sargent to repaint Goutreau's strap to sit chastely on her shoulder? With its revelations about Goutreau's identity and an eyebrow-raising cast of characters, including Richard Wagner, Henry James, and Sarah Bernhardt, this enthralling account exposes the Dorian Gray-like tale of beauty, infatuation, obsession, and betrayal that lies behind Goutreau and Sargent's masterpiece. I always think it's exciting to learn the story behind a masterwork. And this one sounds pretty intriguing, doesn't it? So I can't wait to dive in and learn more about the mysterious Madame X. Now, I brought something else home with me from the thrift store, and this is something that I've started actively looking for. Tailored jackets. Now, back in 2020, and carrying over to 2021, almost no one is wearing tailored jackets anymore. Except me. I wear them. I love wearing tailored jackets with jeans over like a nice scoop neck tank. That's one of my favorite looks, and that tends to be my default if I'm meeting up with friends for lunch or dinner or whatever. What's great about the fact that no one is really wearing jackets like that right now is you can pick up some really nice ones at amazing prices, in perfect condition at the thrift store. No one is ever even over there looking at them but me. I know right where to go for the jackets. And I'm finding some that are so beautiful. They looked like they were very expensive when they were brand new. Fully lined, very nice quality, beautiful stuff. I even go for the older ones, the ones that you know have a little bit of age to them because they've got shoulder pads. I love shoulder pads. I am waiting for the day when shoulder pads come back in style. I always think shoulder pads make your thighs look so much smaller. So we've got to bring those things back. Okay, so how about this? Why don't you come shopping with me? We're going to backtrack. We're going to go back to that thrift store, and I'm going to do some shopping for some jackets. Let's do this one together. Hi there, everybody. I'm standing in the parking lot of my local Savers thrift store. Now, Savers is a chain of thrift stores. We have several of them in Kansas City. I just happen to like this one because they have been a good source for me for jackets, and that's what I'm on the hunt for today. Savers is a chain. You may have them in your area as well. I don't think they're nationwide, but I do think they're in other states other than Missouri. But I find them to be very clean and orderly. It's just kind of a nice, pleasant place to shop. Now, I know a lot of people like to go to Goodwill. I have not had any luck at Goodwill at all. The Goodwills in Kansas City that I've been to are just not very pleasant. They're kind of dirty. They're just not nice. They're just not a good environment. I've seen other Goodwills profiled out on YouTube that look fabulous. So I guess you just never know until you walk in. But I've had a lot of good luck at this particular Savers. So let's see what they've got to offer today. Remember, we're on the lookout for jackets. And not just any jackets, tailored jackets. Okay, so I'm in the store now, and I do feel a little bit weird talking into my phone like this, but we shall carry on. So I'm in the clothing section of the Savers, and there are certain things that I look for. Now, I'm finding that this is really a good time to be looking for things because I think people are starting to get into spring cleaning mode, and so they're maybe donating more things. I know there for a while there was just not much to find, but now I'm finding that the shelves are much more full and the racks are more full as well. So when I'm looking at clothes, the things that I look for are just the things that I like. So I love anything that has lace on it. I'm looking for quality too. So there's a lot of things that has lace that I don't like, but I'm looking for quality. Okay, so lace, especially net lace. I love that. I like things that are embroidered, velvet. Anything with a fringe on it is always going to attract my attention. Most things that have fringe, like a fringe border, I end up not liking at all. But every now and then, I find a little gem, and I've got a couple in my closet that I got at thrift stores that have fringe on them, and I love it. It's kind of got that flapper type of look for it, look to it. So I really enjoy that. So those are the kinds of things that I tend to look for. And then just anything that's pretty. But if I'm doing a quick scan, those things that I mentioned before, the lace, the velvet, embroidery, those kinds of things, that's what I'm looking for. I am not one of those that looks at every single thing on the rack. I do a quick scan. I look for color and I look for those fabric types that I mentioned before. So right now it looks like they are starting to get the spring stuff in, which is good. So we're supposed to be looking at jackets. I'm not in the jacket section at the moment. I am looking at, now here's something cute. I'm looking at short sleeve tops because I do need some spring things. I don't know about you, but I tend to buy a lot more things that are wintery because I'm cold all the time, and also because I feel like I look better in winter clothes. Again, I think when you get older, you just want to cover up more. But anyway, I am looking for some short sleeve things. Yeah, so what I'm looking at right now is really super cute, actually. I may have to hang on to this. This is a crushed velvet long t-shirt. This is the kind of thing you could wear with leggings. I don't usually wear leggings, but I do like the length on this because this could be kind of cute with jeans too. I am a big jeans wearer. So I wear jeans every day, and I've got every kind of jean you could imagine in my closet. But let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, now this is cute. Okay, so here's something else that I really think is cute. This is a little bit of a shorter top, but it's crocheted. It's a crochet topper, and it's got a cute little black tie on the top of it. It's like a little bow. No, it's not a big goofy bow. This is actually a cute one. And it's got a ribbon that's kind of woven within the crocheted neckline, which is super cute. This would be something that would be cute over a longer top. Okay, this is going to have to go in the cart too. So what I do is I put things in the cart. Do you do this too? I put things in the cart even if I'm still deciding. And then I walk around, and then sometimes the things end up back on the shelf or back on the rack out of the cart. But you never want to leave something behind because somebody else might grab it. Okay, so let's see. Lots of sweaters. I don't need any more sweaters. Oh, here's something. What do we have here? Oh, jackpot. This has a tag still on it. I mean, a new tag. This is brand new. Ralph Lauren. Yeah, here we go. Ralph Lauren. It's in my size, and it is 100% silk. All right, hold on, though, because sometimes you find a snag or something. This is beautiful. So it's like a royal blue, very sheer. You can see through it. It's kind of a royal blue with this beautiful cream floral print all over it. Oh, this is beautiful. Let me check out the price on it. Oh, $11.49 in my size, brand spanking new with the tag still on it. And I am looking for snags or anything. I see nothing. Oh, this is going in the cart. Okay, in the cart it goes. So, at the moment, I have the Ralph Lauren top. I have the velvet long kind of t-shirt type top. And I have this super cute little crocheted topper with the black tie. Okay, so that's what I've got so far. Okay, I'm getting myself all distracted. Let me go over to the jacket section, which is clear across the store. Okay, so now I'm over in the jacket section. And most of the jackets look pretty terrible. Okay, so they look sort of frumpy, or they look like they were part of a suit back in the day, which I'm not opposed to that, but I'm always asking myself the question, can I wear jeans with it? Okay, now here's something cute. Okay, this is super cute. Okay, so I've got a denim jacket here, and it sort of looks like military style with a little peplum, but it's really super cute with rolled sleeves in my size. This is going in the cart. Okay, let me see how much. $8. Okay, so the thing that I have to be really careful about is I get excited about these things, and then I get home, and on more than one occasion, I found a problem. So you really do have to check. This looks really good. I don't see any problems. Oh, that's cute. Okay, definitely I could wear jeans with that. All right. And, oh, now this is something. This is a long black jacket. Let's see. I tend to go for smaller sizes in jackets because I've got very small shoulders. And this is a small. This is a long jacket. This is a long one, but it's embroidered. It's black. It's like a black cotton twill with embroidery on it. And a blue embroidery. I love embroidery. I just like the girly stuff. You know what I mean? I always go for the girly stuff. Okay, that's pretty. And it could be cute with jeans. This is long. It's a long. Let me see where it hits. It's a longer jacket. Sort of mid thigh is where this comes down. And actually, I do kind of like long things like that. Okay, this is going in the cart. I'm kind of thinking about this one, though. I'm not sure about it because this is a little different than the kind of thing I normally wear, but I love the embroidery on it. So it's cute. Okay, and here we have Calvin Klein. Oh, yes, let's take a look. We've got a black... Okay, I got excited there. I thought it was brand new. It looks brand new. But no, that is not an original tag. Oh, this is pretty. This is black, and it is double-breasted. Really cute. It still has the buttons, the extra buttons, and a little packet sewed on the inside. I'm afraid this one might be a little big on me. This is a medium, and mediums in jackets tend to run large on me, so I don't know. I may have to try this on, but it's super cute. It looks like it's in perfect condition. It would look really cute with like a white top underneath, and maybe a little neck scarf would be cute, and jeans, of course, and black boots. Super, super cute. Okay, in the cart it goes. All right, so anything else in the jacket area? There are some very bad-looking jackets. Oh, wait, here's something cute. Oh, wow. Oh, this is beautiful. What do we have here? Banana Republic. Okay, we've got a Banana Republic size 6. That is the size. Okay, and this is fully lined. It's beautiful. It is a printed textured lace. Well, actually, it is lace. It's a lace overlay, so it looks like it was a cream jacket with a pretty dense black lace over it. Beautiful. Yes. Okay, well, now that would be two black jackets. So it would be this one and then the Calvin Klein. Well, you never can have too many black jackets, can you? So I don't know. I may have to get this. Okay, so I am not going to bore you with me trying these jackets on, and you can't try them on like in a fitting room. So I just have to kind of pop them on, and that's going to be awkward trying to record that. So I won't bore you with that. But let me try them on, and then I'll let you know how they turn out. Okay, we have winners here. I think I'm going to get all of the jackets. I think I'm going to get them all, even the long one with the embroidery, because it's just beautiful on, and it makes me look really thin. So I know I get small size jackets, so that might lead you to believe that I'm very tiny. No, I am not actually, but I'm smaller on top than I am on the bottom. So it makes me look very thin, that long jacket, and I don't have anything like that. I think it's kind of chic, that jacket. So that is going to be cute. Let's see what the brand is on that. It's Allie Miles. I don't know if you know that brand. Great. I don't know that brand, but, okay. So we've got Allie Miles. We've got Calvin Klein. And we've got Banana Republic for the jackets. We have, I don't know what this brand is for the velvet t-shirt. I don't know what there's really no tag on that. I'm not sure what that is. But we do have the Ralph Lauren blouse. And then what's the brand on this super cute little topper? Kato. Kato, established in 1946. That's a really cute little topper. I think I'm going to get that too. Okay, so we're talking about really low prices here. Let me do the quick math in my head.
I think I can get all of this stuff for $40. Yeah, I think it's going to be about $40. Plus, I get a discount because I am in the points program, the frequent shopper. The frequent shopper program. Okay, so I'm getting all of this stuff, and then also I'm getting a couple pairs of hoop earrings. So I've really gotten, so I love to buy jewelry at the thrift store because I find that I'm more interested in unique pieces that you can't find at all the stores. So not everything that I buy is vintage. So, for example, these clothes are not vintage. I don't really wear vintage clothes. I do have a couple of jackets, you know, with the shoulder pads, but that's not really what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for vintage clothes. The jewelry, I do have a lot of vintage pieces. So at home, I have in my collection a lot of old jewelry, but I have some new pieces too. I tend to go more for the vintage, and it's easier for me to find vintage pieces at the thrift store or the antique store. So I also buy jewelry at antique stores as well. But anyway, okay, well, so that's the shopping. That's how I do shopping for jackets. And I'm so glad that you came along with me. We'll have to do this again sometime.
So there we have it. That's how I shop for jackets. Now, I came home with three of them. I don't believe you can have too many jackets. You just can't.
Welcome to American Radium. You are paid 1 cent per dial.
Your work suffers, Miss Cavallo. The eight looks like a fat toddler.
This month's top painter, Josephine Cavallo.
Will you help me practice my feeling space?
I'm studying.
I have to be ready to be discovered and go to Hollywood.
I want to find a tomb like Tut's, and I'm an archaeologist.
Joe, will you be ready in 5 minutes? Joe?
Don't come in, please.
Joe? I don't know what's wrong with her.
I'm dizzy. My joints ache. I lost a tooth and two others are loose. Do you know what's wrong with me?
Absolutely nothing. You're healthy as a horse.
Where do you work?
American Radium.
We're dial painters. We believe that exposure to radium can cause devastating tissue damage.
Radium is good for you. Everyone knows that.
What does this mean for us?
We take American Radium down.
There's a doctor that can test if your bones are radioactive.
Jesse, you sound crazy. I'm not losing my job over this.
I'm scared.
I'm not going back in there.
I'm looking for Bessie and Josephine Cavallo.
They did a study years ago.
They own it.
Own research.
That's absurd.
It's like owning gravity. American Radium is denying the harmful effects of radium.
All they have to do is run out the clock.
They could drag this out for years.
They don't have years.
You'll never win.
I'm doing it. No matter what.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Everyone put down your brushes. Radium is poison.
Bessie, you're trespassing.
I won't abandon you.
They're trying to silence you. They must be stopped.
Do you really think you can beat American Radium?
I am going to make American Radium pay for what they've done.
Tell them that!
Get Joe out of here right now!
We're gonna win.
That was the trailer for the film Radium Girls. Now, I talked about this film and the story behind it last season in one of our episodes of Circus Sunday Night, and at that time I had mentioned that I was really dying to see this film. Radium Girls is a fictionalized film. It's a fictionalized version of what is a pretty horrifying true story. Now, here's just as a reminder, here's the real story from Wikipedia. The Radium Girls were female factory workers who contracted radiation poisoning from painting watch dials with self-luminous paint. After being told that the paint was harmless, The women in the facilities in which these dials were being made ingested deadly amounts of radium after being instructed to point their brushes on their lips in order to give them a fine tip. Some of the women also painted their fingernails, face, and teeth with the radium so they would glow. 5 of the women in the New Jersey plant challenged their employer in a case over the right of individual workers to sue the companies for which they worked. That case was settled out of court in 1928. 5 women in the Illinois plant sued their employer, which was the Radium Dial Company, and they won damages in 1938. It's this Illinois case that's profiled in the film Radium Girls. I've been reading a lot about this story, and there's much more to it. But it's very sad, and it's very fascinating. So you would think that this was a film that couldn't miss. Well, if you did think that, you would be wrong. I really wanted to like this film, but I thought it was boring. I couldn't believe that this storyline could be boring, but it was. It was boring. It moved slowly. The characters were very boring. I didn't like the way they fictionalized these characters. They tried to give them some dimension, and I just didn't think it worked. I didn't think the acting was good or believable. It was just a very forgettable film, which is too bad. So the trailer is actually better than the film. So if you like that, you've already seen the best of what that film has to offer. So I would give this one a pass. But of course, that's just my opinion. If this is a subject that interests you, by all means, it's out on Amazon. You can rent it for a couple dollars, I think. Well, that just about does it for our little short episode tonight. Tomorrow's Monday. It's a clean slate. It's a new beginning. I hope yours is a good one. But no matter what, remember that Friday will be here before we know it. Have a great week, and I'll see you soon.